Today's program is brought to you by Regional Access. Regional Access is a regional distributor committed to creating sustainable economies throughout the Northeast. For more information, visit regionalaccess.net.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam is gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, I have a good buddy of mine, Rob Kruger of Extra Fancy here in Brooklyn, New York. I have to say, and I've said this a bunch of times on the show and out in public and probably on someone's blog post that I hacked into, it is one of my favorite places in the world, and I'm so happy that you guys opened the place. It's one of the most fun bars that I've ever been to.
Thank you very much. It's very pleasurable to be here this afternoon.
Yeah. So you've been working at Employees Only for how long?
Like nearly 9 years, like so December 2004. Yeah, my whole adult life, basically.
Yeah. So, but you still keep a shift at Employees Only after you've opened up Extra Fancy.
Well, yeah, I've worked Tuesdays there since
the beginning.
Since 2005, probably. And yeah, they let me hold on to Tuesday nights.
That's awesome.
I try to deliver.
That's so cool. I mean, it's great to be... to have your fingers in a lot of pies, as it were.
Well, that was the advice I always heard, especially from Henry over there, Henry Lafargue, is always keep two gigs. And he kept L'Orange Bleu for a couple years after Employees Only opened up.
That's awesome.
That not a lot of people knew about, but you got to always kind of have your other thing going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about your experience from exactly that, like from working at Employees Only to... opening up this awesome place, Brooklyn, and how the process happened with that.
Well, I'd opened up Macau Trading Company as a bar manager with the Employees Only team and met Mark Rancourt there, who had been at Boston, and then he was at Pravda. And he and I worked Wednesdays together at Macau, and with his former boss from Boston, David Brilliant, they'd been talking about doing a project together. And Mark and I kind of talked about things on Wednesdays a lot about what was happening. And he was like, you know, invited me to be his partner at Extra Fancy. And I was like, great. And that was, I don't know, 3 years ago, because even after we got the space, it took quite a while to get it open. But yeah, that's kind of how it came about. And the dreams are being realized.
Yeah. I remember we were, like, my band was actually, there was a place next door to Extra Fancy called The Shop, and it was like a motorcycle garage with a little dive bar in the front. And we would, we were hanging out there, our buddy Dan Lyle, who's actually been on the show, talking about The Shop. It's moving out here to Bushwick. And I remember my band Brothers was shooting a music video there one day, and you guys were working on the place. This was like a couple summers ago. And I remember... Some EO and Macau people like came across and were like, "What the fuck are you guys doing, man? Like, wait, what are you doing?" It's like, we're opening a bar right here.
Yeah, that was like our opening week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were like really getting ready.
It's awesome.
Yeah, because I think Jason came by and had food that day.
Yeah.
That was cool. That video looks great, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I was not trying to plug that at all.
No, it's cool.
So one of the things, okay, I'll just start out with this. Extra Fancy, one of my favorite bars in Brooklyn and in New York City and just around. One of the things I like most about it is that it's super, super fun. And it's like, just kind of like relentlessly fun, you know? And that the food is amazing, first of all. The staff is amazing. The drink's great, you know? But there's another thing, another aspect to it. There are three walls with windows, you know? Which is totally different from like a place like, Employees Only or Macau or any of the more like cocktail bars that we can, you know, that we typically think of in New York City. You know, it's like, it's a little bit more open and airy and just.
It's the design there that Mark gets the credit for is so that it can be airy in the summer, but still cozy in the wintertime. And that's it. But you're absolutely right. Like, we walk by, you can see what's going on in there, and hopefully you're seeing people having a good time, and you got to say, I want to be in there. which is completely opposite of entering through the dark curtain and being in this hibernating space, or I don't know right. what it is. At like a, this is all behind the scenes. This is hidden from view. Yeah. And speakeasy concept that that obviously has been so successful at places like EO or PDT.
Yeah, I mean, like the great. Well, I mean, I feel like the like all those bars are great. They're all fantastic bars, and all these people, like, they've pretty much all been on this show. They've been sitting where you're sitting right now, and we've definitely talked about this at length, about that lady just chipped her nail on herself when she just dropped it. Yeah. Sorry, we're watching people in the dining room of Roberta's right now. But it's kind of distracting sometimes, but it's awesome. But the cool thing about those bars is that, you know, it is cool. It is exclusive, and it kind of, like, takes you back to a different kind of, like, time, and you do feel like you're part of this, like, almost like secret society kind of thing, and, like, you're learning about some, like, hidden treasures. But then I also, like, go into, like, the barbecue joint and, like, the honky-tonk and then, like, the beer garden, you know, like, it's... And I feel like, Extra Fancy has elements of all of that.
Well, the beer garden and the pub and those kinds of honky-tonk are public places
yeah.
where it's you go to be seen and be out and engage with your friends and neighbors and everything. The thing about the speakeasy is even – or the neo-speakeasy is that even though Prohibition has ended decades ago, when you enter there, you're still – you're giving yourself into the illusion that it's you're still doing something illicit.
It's kind of dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. And even though – I mean, hopefully nobody's doing anything that's actually illegal there You've got that license to be you can free yourself up of that because you're already transgressing this theoretical boundary between licit and illicit. And you're right, there's a big difference between that and a bar that is a pub where anybody walks in and you just see what's happening today.
Yeah.
So
I mean, like another thing about like the fun element of Extra Fancy might. I mean,
relentlessly fun. Yeah, which I think is the perfect tagline. Putting that on the T-shirts.
That's awesome. Really,
dude? Yeah, absolutely.
You got to quote me. Yeah, on that, bro.
Yeah. It's our blurb on the back of the shirts.
Awesome. I get a byline. But I feel like a lot of it, like, especially with guys like Steve Schneider. You know, everyone knows Steve. He's been on the show a few times too. You know, like. I feel like you guys have, like, you've gone through, like, bartender boot camp at EO, and so I feel like this is kind of like, all right, fuck it, let's go.
Well, I mean, it's true. Like,
you definitely pay your dues. And
the service bar, I mean, coming up from the bottom at a place like there, or, you know, any place that you're going to start as a barback and commit and, like, be 2 years or so or more to get to the real bartending shifts and so on. Yeah, I mean, that's paying your dues. That's like woodshedding. Mm-hmm. And working the service bar at Employees Only was grueling. You know, at 6 o'clock, the tickets just start coming. And at 11:30, you get the first ticket that says Jack and Coke. Before that, it was all cocktails the whole time. And you get that Jack and Coke gin and tonic ticket, and you're just like, ah, oh, they're just drinking highballs now. For the next hour, I'm good. You know, you can finally breathe. So, I mean, there is a little bit of, yeah, we've done that. People think it's cool. Every restaurant in the world has a cocktail list now. Everybody, so much talent has been trained up through programs like that, and it's spreading out or metastasizing, however you want to see it. And yeah, cocktails are a known thing now. It's not going to be the first time that you ever taste a Manhattan again. You're going to say, how do they do this or how do they do that? Mm-hmm. But that eye-opening moment or the first time you sit down at a bar that Dushan is bartending at or the first time you go to Milk and Honey, most people have had that experience, at least in New York, at least amongst our scene. So yeah, you go, what else do we do to have fun? And you know how bartenders go out? They drink a beer, you know, when you get off work. Somebody asked me last night at the bar, what do you drink when you get off work? I was like, usually a beer. And they were like, they wanted me to say, I make myself a Ramos Gin Fizz or something like that with my like 15 minutes when I get off work. It's like, no, I've been waiting to go to the bathroom. And I go to the bathroom. And then we do paperwork. We have a beer. We talk about funny things that happened the night, you know, during the night or last week or whatever.
The shit Eric Job said.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Basically.
Did you hear what Eric said? That's awesome. I mean, like, I feel like there's, I mean, well, that's, I, going back to what you were just saying about the post-shift drink, it's like, I think it's the most people I've ever seen in one place doing shots of Fernet ever.
Oh, where?
At Extra Fancy.
At Extra Fancy.
but
and also, shots of rosé have caught on.
Shots of rosé?
Shots of rosé.
Just rosé wine? Just
yeah.
Not like rosé, like Cokie America?
No, rosé wine. That's what we had in at the Instant Fancy pop-up in Portland, too, was rosé. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Jim Kearns, one of my old bartenders, he's at Play now in the Museum of Sex. He was on about 2 months ago. His thing is a rocks glass full of white wine, but you have to shoot the whole thing. And he calls it a silencer.
A silencer.
It's a pretty good one. So, okay, yeah, I mean, like, those are some more, like, those bartender's choice, like, the actual choice of a bartender, like, for themselves, drinks. You know, it's like, all right, here's what's going to make me happy right now. I don't want to sit around and shake a Dreamwish Gin Fizz for 12 minutes.
It's like, there's this much Sancerre left, and you're just like, okay, I'm just going to have that.
Just gonna, boom. Yeah. I feel like you should have, like, a whole menu Extra Fancy of just like bartender's choice, like here's
knockoff drinks,
like Ale Sangery. It's like, really, it's an ale with a little bit of sugar and some nutmeg. I'm just gonna slam that right now.
Oh, Shooter's Menu. Yeah, we talked about those kinds of things. It's always hard to find enough room on the paper to fit in everything that you want to do on the menus, but that's fun trying.
You even try the edge, man. And try the edge of the paper, man.
Yeah.
Edge of the page. And fit some crazy stuff on that one. There. But, okay, so before we go to the break, there's a... I want to get started on this conversation. You guys do... you really do highlight the concept of guest bartenders. You do a thing called Mixed Company.
Yeah, Mixed Company tonight. Matt Bellinger is going to be there up from Donna Bar, our neighbors. It started as a way to warm up the middle of the week for us. I mean, it's been great. We just make it a little more of a party, put a DJ on, have fun, get a sponsor to support the product in one way or the other so that everybody can try all the cocktails because they're at a price that everybody can afford. And just try to have fun and let people be in the bar and be themselves, like express yourself the way that you do when you get to make whatever you want. And that's kind of what the Mixed Company concept is. I mean, that's the Extra Fancy concept too, is be yourself and, you know, just, you know, have fun. But that's what the guests, I think, get out of it, is they're like, I want to be in that bar and do my, you know, and do this thing and have fun. And we've had just great times with the people who are in it. Chris Lauder, Brett McDonald, Souther Teague did an awesome job, like, it, you know, as you'd expect. But it's a lot of fun. And it just... You know, hopefully they bring in some people who haven't seen the place before. And a lot of times they're our friends. They've been guests at the bar and a lot of times, and they just get to feel the other side of it and sit in the cockpit and do the thing. So yeah, we love it.
Yeah, man. Well, we're going to take a quick break. But when we get back, I want to talk about a little bit more about the concept of the guest bartender and how it's really evolved over the past few years. Because I think it's a really interesting phenomenon that's really exposed a lot of not only guests, but a lot of bartenders to new techniques, cocktails, different styles, and different just different vibes in general.
Let's do it.
All right. So when we get back, we'll continue talking with Rob Kruger of Extra Fancy. Back in a moment.
You are listening to Leaving by Dead Stars on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Stay tuned for more from the Speakeasy.
Wake me up when you know, and I hope that we
Today's program is brought to you by Regional Access. Regional Access is a regional distributor committed to creating sustainable economies throughout the Northeast. This community-oriented company was built on a vision of providing ecologically responsible and ethically produced food to area consumers. During a typical week at the Regional Access warehouse, they help move thousands of pounds of natural and grass-fed meat, gallons of farm-fresh dairy, and tons of organic and specialty foods from producer to market. Having been in the distribution business for almost 25 years, Regional Access's experience and knowledge make them uniquely equipped to build out their region's food web. Up in the Finger Lakes, Regional Access will continue to champion the region's bounty and work toward a sustainable food system for the entire Northeast. For more information, visit regionalaccess.net.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy. And in the studio today, we have my good buddy Rob Kruger of Extra Fancy here in Brooklyn, New York. And why am I talking that way?
I don't know. I'm trying to blend in.
It's the radio voice. So we were talking about, right before the break, we were talking about the kind of like the newer concept of guest bartending. And I mean, like any other like modern bartending, I wouldn't say necessarily trend, but just kind of like every direction that we move in, it's closely following what's happening, what has happened over the past couple of decades with food and with cooking. And we definitely have the restaurant side of our industry to thank for ushering in what we do as bartenders, creating drinks and creating awareness for different spirits.
The culinary
aspect. Yeah, absolutely. So I know there's a lot of like staging with like chefs in different kitchens, you know, and like kind of like apprenticing and learning from other chefs and other kitchens. Well, that's what's been going on for the last, I would say, like, it really probably started about 5-6 years ago. I mean, like,
yeah, I'm trying to think. The first time I heard of guest bartending was when they did Fatty Johnson in the Cabrito space, and is now the Fatty Q space. And they called in people to do a guest. I don't remember how often it was, but it was kind of a revelation to me. And then traveling and being able to pick up shifts is terrific. Like, yeah, you just go post on Facebook, I'm going to be in Manitoba. Are there any bars that I can bartend at? And people are like, yeah, come and do Monday night with me. Like, it's amazing how I think it's facilitated by the social network thing, because you can keep your buddies across. It's not like you have to write them a letter and say, I'm arriving in 3 months, find work for me. It's not like that. It's just like, can I sit in your bar and take some of your tips from you and hopefully bring some business in your door and we have fun together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily, you know, just completely taking their tips from them. But, like, I mean, to me, like, every time I've done a guest bartending shift and every, like, time that I've worked with another guest bartender, it's always cool that you always learn something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you bring, first of all, you mix each other's crowds, which, pun intended, mixed company.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, that's the thing.
What you guys have on Wednesdays there. But to me, it's like, it's the same way that, like, I mean, it could be anything, really. Like, if I were, like, into paintball and, you know, like, I went to California and, like, hung out with some other paintballers, I'd learn some sort of technique, I'm sure. I'd pick up something, you know, but...
But it's really easy to do guest bartending because it's a minimal commitment. It's one night or it's a few hours. It's not like a guest architect on the on some project where they're coming in and like, okay, you do these windows. You're like, the project time is months for that, but... Bartending is like theater. It's like every night you're producing what you're putting on that night. So somebody can come in and be Hamlet for the night and then and then go home and everybody's still buddies.
Totally.
Yeah. The commitment's low, I guess.
But
the upside is really high.
The payoff's really high. Yeah. I think it's one of the coolest things, you know, especially like with things like the Tiki Mondays with Brian Miller that's been at Mother's Ruin for the last little while, and before it was at Lonnie Kai and Gold Bar, which unfortunately is going to be ending at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then I know that Basic, Jay Zimmerman's bar, like he'll do like guest bartending nights. It's just like one of the coolest things, and it really shows there's a lot of maturity, I think, you would take a decade ago, and it was so competitive, you know? There was no way in hell that you would ever do a guest bartending shift or have anyone come into your bar and do a guest bartending shift 10 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think so, though my experience is slightly shorter than that, but even to let somebody else behind your bar was questionable. You know, I remember thinking that when we had, like, cocktail competitions hosted at Employees Only, that I was like, okay, you guys, let me show you how it works back here. But now, I mean, it's a great experience to go behind someone else's bar and go, oh, they did that. And you're always trying to design your next bar, of course.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, you're like, oh, that's great. They've got that thing.
It's like, oh, man, they put that glass chiller there, and they put that ice bin there. It's like, man, that was brilliant. How did – oh, wow. It's really nerdy, but –
people worked it out, but like, I'm always jealous of those circulating rinsers at Pouring Ribbons. You guys are so good.
That's so good. Yeah, I mean, and what's really cool about that too, not even just like guest bartending at places, but just like you said, like going to someone's like new bar that they open and just like stepping behind the bar, just looking, taking like your mental snapshots, like. Of basically your spy photos, how they put their bar together. And it's like, wow, mind blown. But I think that's like, you know, just with that alone, that's cool. But the
sharing approach.
It's not like limited to just like the technical side and the actual like. Recipe side and formulaic side. I think like one of the coolest things that I get from like working with other bartenders is like observing their style, like the way that their customer service, you know, there are certain things that people do that I've learned from, like I learned some really cool things, like the way that like, it'll be something simple, like the way you put down a coaster or a BevNap or like the way that you garnish a drink or the way that you even like ask someone, you know, how, like...
You want another.
One of my favorite, like, bartenders, Keith Ward at Abilene, down in Carroll Gardens, where I live, like, right across the street, basically, from my bar, Prime Eats, he's always super jovial, but he'll throw down a coaster, and he's like, hey, so what am I putting on that empty coaster? You know, and, like, that's one of his, like, lines, you know? And just like Doug Quinn, you know, formerly of, like, P.G. Clark's, he's got his new spot. I've heard it's awesome. I haven't been up to it yet. But, you know, these, like, you pick up these tricks from different bartenders and just on the customer service side, and it's really, like, builds up the experience, not only for your customers, but for us as bartenders as well, you know?
Well, yeah, and in a way, if you've got somebody who's grown up or, you know, is working at a place for a long time, you don't get that experience of working alongside them unless you do something like this. Yeah. It's like, we all know the people that we work alongside of. I mean, I've worked with the same guys for 8, 7, 8, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 years, you know, all the time. And you get to know and how to pick up what the other guy's doing and all that kind of stuff. But when you work with another professional who's got another system, then you get to see those things clearly. And it usually feels just right. Like, you know, if somebody's been in a bar, they've been in a bar.
Yeah.
And they know what to do and you know what they're doing. And yeah, it's great. It's great fun. We can only get a union and health insurance and all that kind of things. And, you know, and if we only didn't have to pay taxes on giving each other tips, would be the thing. You should just pass around a token instead, because every time you give that 20, Uncle Sam's taking a quarter of it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we kind of have a token system going with those Fernet coins, you know?
Yeah. But do you have to turn it in?
No.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. How does it work? The house is supposed to give away Fernet all the time, apparently. That's that's the idea.
Yeah, I've got some tips. I'll share them with you after the show.
I never accepted one. I mean, kudos to them, but I've never accepted a Fernet coin, so I don't ever have to be in that position.
Oh. Challenge accepted.
I mean, I don't have one, so I can't play.
No, that's okay. Yeah. Well, like I said before, I've still seen at your bar the most shots of Fernet done at once. So yeah, sorry about that.
You're welcome, Bronca family.
So we got a few minutes left, but I wanted to talk a little bit about, well, I mean, like, you guys just recently this summer, you opened up that yard.
We've had a couple events on the side yard there. But that will be a process going through the government of getting it all approved. It's always tricky. I mean, I think that people's places are taking longer and longer to open up now, though. The mayor's office, or, you know, there are some business acceleration things that they're trying to do, because it's obviously in everybody's benefit to get places open. You start employing people, you start paying taxes, you do these things. I mean, that's why you have a business. So we're in the process of trying to open up the outside. We did a couple events out there, which were a blast, but we, in terms of getting it official and open all the time, it's going to be not till next spring. So.
So what are you
looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are your plans with that? Is like, I mean, going back to earlier in the show about the work in the service bar at EO, you know, like there's
going to be some additional element of service. We have, you know, the plans are drawn to put a bar out there.
Oh,
potentially.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's whether it's what phase it goes in, but yeah, there's definitely gonna have to be some additional cooking and some additional bar out there. I mean, similar to this space, Roberta's, it's very large and you can't get it all served from one space.
Right.
You know, you're talking about hot toddies. All like getting there warm is tricky when you're talking about something that big. So
yeah,
it'll be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to doing it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you are. I mean, like I'm looking forward to seeing it. And you know, one of the things I like, I keep gushing on your bar. I mean, like it's
thank you so much.
It's so cool. There's a lot of little details that are done with it that I'm just really impressed by. I won't go into too many of them. I will say that there was one night I walked in and all of a sudden there was a disco ball and all the lights were off except for one spotlight and a disco ball and everyone was just going crazy. And then like 4th of July, like you changed all the light bulbs and they're all red, white, and blue, and everyone knows that I just love America. So that like really, hit home with me, man. And then like also, the bar is actually at the very front part of it, most of it really, it's a round bar, so it's like I love round bars, you know, 'cause
it's supposed to hug you when you come in the room. I mean, it's kind of the opposite of a hug, but it's supposed to be when you come in, you're immediately part of it. And I think that that's the way people feel about it, especially at the person. I mean, we all try to be catching everybody as they walk in the door and just being like, hi, welcome. And that's what it's supposed to do, is embrace the room in that way. And I think it really works. I think you know, we like it.
It's been working so far, man. And I got to say, I just, again, congratulations. It's a really awesome spot. Where can they find information about Extra Fancy?
ExtraFancyBKLYN.com. We got a little Facebook going on up there. But, yeah, come to Extra Fancy, Metropolitan Roebling, 302 Metropolitan, Brooklyn, New York, USA.
And I'm going to be guest bartending one of your
I think right after the new year we'll have you over at Mixed Company.
I think my menu's gonna be all blue drinks.
That's good, we do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right,
Rob, thanks so much for coming
Damon.
On the show
this
today.
Awesome.
It's been great. Come back anytime you'd like, and we'll definitely be seeing each other sooner than then, I'm sure.
I think we're going to the bar now.
I think so.
Okay.
All right, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Tune in next week for more really nerdy awesome bartending talking. That's it. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.